this chap, he said, could you tell me the way to the beach? And which beach? And he explained which beach he was going to. And the old chap looked at him and he said, well, he said, if I wanted to go there, I wouldn't start from here. See, most of the time when we take a path, we don't choose where we start from, do we? We start from where we are, and we have to find the way. But the path that we're talking about this morning, the path that's described in Proverbs chapter 2, is a path that we choose where we start. And where we start makes all the difference to where we end up. So we're looking at Proverbs 2, and if you have a Bible, it would really help you to be looking at it. And if you can find it on a phone, would anybody like a Bible at this point who doesn't have one so far? We're looking at Proverbs chapter 2, so it's about in the middle. If you get to Psalms, open it in the middle. If you get to Psalms, you want to turn right. And if you get to Isaiah, you want to turn left. Okay? Proverbs chapter 2. And we're thinking about wisdom. That's what Proverbs is about. And we're looking this morning, as we look at Proverbs 2, at the search for wisdom in the first four, five verses, the source of wisdom in the next three verses, and the results of wisdom in the last part of the chapter. So first, the search for wisdom. Just look at the Bible in front of you, if you've got it there, at how the start of the journey in the search for wisdom is described here. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look at the words I've highlighted there. Why do you think I've highlighted those words? Yes. Sorry? A choice. It is. There's a choice about where we start this journey. And there's a cause and effect. If, then. That's important to notice. Now, look at what the ifs are. If you accept my words and store up my commands, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. These wonderful active verbs that describe how we set out on our journey for wisdom. Accept and store up. Turn your ear, apply your heart. Call out and cry aloud. Look for it and search for it. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth, that is, from his word, come knowledge and understanding. Now, if you were listening last week when Simon was talking and gave his introduction to Proverbs, much of these early chapters of Proverbs, particularly, are set like the advice of a parent to a child. But it's interesting here that the writer of Proverbs makes it clear that the person whose words we're to store up and to pay attention to and to search as for treasure is our Heavenly Father. He's the one, and it's His word that is the source of true wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So before we go on, I'd like to think for a moment about just some practical ideas about how we might put into practice those exhortations in the first four verses. Let's start with, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you." So imagine it's God Himself who is speaking to you. You don't have to imagine, because it is invisible. God, we can't see Him, but He's here. And He's saying to us, to each of us, "My son, my daughter, if you accept my words and store up my commands in you, then you will find knowledge and understanding." So how are you going to do that? Let's just take some moments and pause and think about this. How are you going to follow this advice? How are you going to store up God's commands in you? How do you think? Well, memorize God's word. There isn't a better way of storing up God's words and God's commands in you than simply to commit it to memory. We just heard from Andrew that some of you young people are actively trying to memorize portions of God's word, some verses from Scripture. I wonder how many of us follow the advice of the Proverbs in storing up God's commands within us. As a young Christian, I had the incredible blessing that I became a Christian through a group of friends who were serious about memorizing Bible verses. And there are many of those Bible verses that I memorized back when I was 19 and 20 that I still know by heart and come to my mind. One of them is 1 John 1:9. "If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, what a wonderful truth to know. How much that's helped me over the years. And many, many other such Bible verses are stored up in my mind, and the Holy Spirit brings them to my mind all the time. Now you can think, well, it's really difficult to memorize Bible verses, but you could take one Bible verse a week, write it on a card, stick it up somewhere, and just keep reviewing it over the week. And then next week, take another Bible verse. Store up God's commands in you. The benefits are immeasurable. And this isn't just something for young people. Chris and I find at this stage of life, it's a little harder to get those Bible verses to stick. But we still work at it. And I remember a story that a friend of mine told me about an old fisherman and a young lad who was trying to memorize Scripture, and went to this old Christian fisherman and said to him, "I'm trying to memorize the Bible verses, but they don't seem to stay in my mind." And so the fisherman said, "Well, take this fishing basket and run down to the sea and fill it up with water." And so the lad ran down to the sea. He got the fishing basket. He filled it up with water. He came running back to the fisherman. But by the time he got there, all the water had run out. And he said to the fisherman, "It's no good. the water won't stay in the basket. So the fisherman said, well, go and try again. So the lad went down, he filled the fishing basket with water, he came running back to the fisherman. Just as he got there, the last bit of the water was draining out. He said, it's no good, it doesn't stay in there. And the fisherman looked into the basket and he said to the young lad, look, look how clean it is. You see, when we store up God's commands in us, it isn't just that we remember them so we can show off to our friends, but that the Word of God, as we actively engage our minds with it and fill our minds and give attention to it, cleans our thoughts, cleans our minds, instills in us God's wisdom. So we can memorize God's Word. But what's the next thing he says? Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Turning your ear to wisdom and applying your... How do you think you would do that? How do you turn your ear to something? How do you turn your ear to something? Are you turning your ear to this now? Paying attention, yeah, and applying your heart. You know, something that I was told, again, as a young person, is to take notes when I come to church. I don't do it now, I'm afraid, but my wife still does that. Chris takes notes every Sunday. And, you know, when you try and take notes, it's very hard to do, especially if someone talks fast, but it focuses your mind on what's being said. Whether that's the right thing to do for you, but let's learn to pay attention to what's being said. Apply your ear, turn your ear, listening carefully to God's word. And then praying for understanding. Call out for insight. Thank you very much. I'm not sort of losing my voice because I was cheering so loudly that Plymouth Argyle won yesterday. But I might have been. You never know. Pray for understanding. Look what it says. Call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding. Really, let's be serious to ask God to help us understand the Bible. It's not an easy book to understand, necessarily. How many of us here find the Bible easy to understand? No. You know, again, as a young person, Chris's father, my wife Chris, her father died when she was 11, and that was instrumental in her coming to Christ. But her dad taught her before he died, when you open the Bible, you should always pray for God to open your mind. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word. It's a good habit, whenever you open the Bible, to pray, to stop and pray, and ask God for understanding. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing? Cry aloud for understanding. There we go. Yes, be serious about wanting to know and understand the Bible. We pray for understanding. We cry aloud, call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding. Did you notice in the reading from that Hannah and Zoe read from Matthew, how Jesus said, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who knocks, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. I think that's particularly, maybe Jesus was even thinking about this passage in Proverbs when he said that. Because the rest of that chapter echoes a lot of what's in this Proverbs 2. Ask, Ask for wisdom. Ask for understanding. Ask God to help you to understand his word. Don't think you can just read it and understand it without asking God's help. It's his word. And then lastly, look for it as silver and search as for hidden treasure. You know, there is treasure in this book. Treasure that is much more valuable than silver or gold. You know, I was reading this week, just for a little bit of background, about the Colorado gold rush. Most of the men and women who went to Colorado looking for gold ended up destitute, even though some of them found gold, because gold isn't lasting. But the wisdom that comes as we search the treasure of this book lasts a lifetime and makes all the difference to your whole life. So, like, it's crazy, isn't it, that we have this book, or you have this app on your phone, and we don't dig into it to look for the treasure that's there. We need the wisdom that God's word gives. So let's go for it. If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding and look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then what? What does it say in the text? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do you feel that you know God? That you really know him? Well, here's how. Let's dig into this book. Let's find the treasure. Let's cry out and let's go for it. And not only then do we end up discovering and growing in our relationship with God and getting to know him, but there are other wonderful results of wisdom. Wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God and his word, helps us to find the right path in life. Look at verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Now, you know, we looked at that picture of a path at the beginning. We look out into this year, and we don't know what's going to come. But if we seek God's wisdom, if we dig into his word and search for the wisdom from God, then he will put into our minds and hearts an internal compass. You know what a compass is? You know what a compass is. It's something that always points north. I was one time when I was a teenager, I was about 15 or 16, I was hiking on Dartmoor with a friend, and it became incredibly misty. And we were absolutely, could not see, you know, couldn't see anything. I mean, more than we could hardly see our hand in front of our face. And there we were in the middle of this Dartmoor National Park, not being able to see anything, but we had a compass. And we held the compass, and we knew that the main road, the A38, went across the south of Dartmoor. So we just kept going south with the compass. And sure enough, after 2 or 3 hours of hiking, without being able to see anything, we came out onto the A38 about 100 yards from a bus stop. A compass is a wonderful thing. But you can have a compass for life in the wisdom of God's word. Because look what it says. You search, you do the things we've been talking about, and the writer of Proverbs says, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. If we do these things, God promises to give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discretion in our hearts, in our souls, to protect us and guard us on our path through life. This is a big deal, to have an internal compass that can help us find our way through life, that can help us discern what is right and just and fair, to find the right path through life. And then he goes on to something that's very important, a very important part of life, and how this applies, this wisdom applies to the area of relationships. Look at verses 12 through to 19. I'll just read verse 12 and verse 16, and you can look at the rest maybe later. But he says this, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. And then he goes on to describe what these wicked men are like. And then he says, verse 16, wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. You know, one of the greatest challenges of life that makes a huge difference to how our lives turn out is who our friends are, the people we hang out with. There's a verse in one of Paul's letters in 1 Corinthians where he says, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You get the wrong friends, especially as a young person, you get into the wrong group of friends. As a young woman, you get drawn to the wrong kind of man or the wrong kind of men. Or as a young man, you get drawn to the wrong kind of women, wrong kind of girls. It can be absolutely destructive of your life. But it's true throughout life. But it's especially true when we're younger. The wisdom that God gives can help us discern, can be like an internal compass to help us find the right kind of friendships. Notice about this sexually adulterous, seductive woman. Her house leads down to death. But these days you don't just need to go to the houses of one of these kind of women. You can go to their website. Don't go there. Don't go there. Her house leads down to death, says the writer of Proverbs, and her path to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. The Living Bible for that verse says, none of these men will ever be the same again. Let's stay away. Beware the deceptive secrecy of the online world. You think you can make friends or connect with people online and it doesn't, you know, no one will know and it's not going to affect you? Of course it will affect you. Let's make good, healthy friendships and use the wisdom of God, the wisdom that God gives in making the right friends. So then we're on the last three verses. Wisdom and foolishness have big, long-term consequences. Verse 20 to 22. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. There are big, long-term consequences of wisdom and foolishness. You can't necessarily see them at this point in your life, but you can know. Storms and floods may come, as in Jesus' story of the wise and foolish builders that was illustrated for us. Floods and storms may come. We don't know what difficult things are going to come in life. I do tell you this, if you're a young person here, life is much more difficult than you think it's going to be. Is it not? Those of you who are older, life is much more difficult than you think it's going to be when you're young. But the wisdom from God, the wisdom that God gives, can prepare us and help us build strong foundations so that we experience all the good things that God has promised to give us, even though life is sometimes very challenging. But there are a lot of people who also make very bad choices with very destructive consequences. So let's not go down that path. Let's choose the path of wisdom. And let's go to God and His Word for the wisdom we need to live life. So let's pray now. Let's pray for wisdom for the path ahead. Father God, I pray for us all to take your word seriously this morning. I pray for a fresh resolve in the minds and hearts of every one of us to take your word seriously and to dig for the treasure that's in it. To read and study your word, perhaps even to begin memorizing bits of your word, that they might stay in our minds and hearts and give us an eternal, internal compass, as you promise. And would you take every one of us here in this church this morning and guide us on the path of wisdom, as Maria so wonderfully prayed for us earlier. Help us in this, Lord. Help us. And may we have the joy of seeing the house of our lives stand firm until we stand in your presence and hear your well done. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? Are we up for this? Okay, so now we're going to stand and we're going to sing about our great God who gives us wisdom. We're going to sing, "How Great Thou Art."